Praise the Lord. So once again, it's really, really good to be back home, to be in the pulpit. Amen. And to sleep in my own bed. Yes. You know, it's always good to get away, but it's always good to come back. Ain't that right, Denny? So glad to see you, Dennis. Yes. Anyway, we're a God-fearing church. We don't play with God. We call Him God. We don't call Him the big man upstairs, buddy pal, and nothing else. He's God and God Almighty. And so anyway, we are praying church also. That's what's in these baskets of prayers. Prayer requests. People put their prayer requests in the baskets. We don't go in here and read the prayer requests. If you got a prayer request, you send it up to God. You're not sending it to me. You send it to God. So we're going to believe that God is going to answer all these prayer requests. And if you didn't put any prayers in here, you can say the prayers or have the prayers yourself right now. And we're going to believe that God is going to answer our prayers. Amen. So let's take a posture of reverence and go before the throne of God. Father, we come before you this morning, giving you all the honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. We thank you for waking us up another day. And for those of us in Christ, oh Lord, you woke us up another day in our right mind. Because, Lord, we too at one time, we were walking in darkness. But you, your mercy and your grace brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We're eternally grateful for that. We pray for those who are sick in their bodies this morning, oh Father God. We ask, Father God, the great physician to heal each and every person that's going through sicknesses or injuries. We pray for those, Father God, who are caught up into drugs, alcohol, pornography, or whatever it might be that has a chain of bondage on people, Lord. We ask that you break those chains and set the people free. We pray, Father, for traveling mercy for those who are traveling. We pray for our children, especially the unborn. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would just move upon the hearts of those who are planning on murdering their babies. That you would change their minds, oh, Father God, and let them gifts from God live because you have a purpose for every conception. So, Lord, we stand in the gap for our children, oh, Lord, especially the unborn. Lord, we pray, Father God, for those that are in the nursing homes and the elderly homes, oh, Lord. We ask that you encourage them. And that you'll protect them. And the workers also, Lord. We ask, Father God, blessings for our military. We thank you for our military. We honor our military. For our policemen, our firemen, our first responders, and our medical profession. We ask blessings upon them. We pray for the nation of Israel. Lord, we stand with the nation of Israel. Oh, Father God, you said you will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. Let us continue to stand for Israel, Father God. We pray, Father God, for this country also. But, Lord, we have to ask for forgiveness of this country. How far we have come from loving you and serving you and obeying you in this country. Lord, we need a miracle in this country. We need for your spirit to be poured out on this country that we would turn from our wicked ways and seek your face, oh, Father God, and you will hear our prayers and turn this country around. We pray, Father God, for our government also. Create a clean heart and renew a right spirit in each and every one of them. And us too, Father God. And that you put godly people in every area of their life and they would seek wisdom from you and you alone to run this country. Lord, I ask, Father, that everybody in earshot of my voice will have ears to hear what you have to say today. Heavenly Father, you must increase in our lives and we must decrease each and every day. Lord, let us not walk out of here the way we walked in. Get me out of the way, Lord. And let every word come out of my mouth be of you and you alone. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Kids, go to kids' church and have a good time and behave. All right. Have a good time. All righty. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis 28. No, I'm sorry. Genesis 28. And I want to talk to you about a man that was in distress. Anybody ever been distressed? You're through it. There's three type of people in the room. Those who are in a trial, in a storm, those who are coming out of a trial, coming out of a storm, those who are about ready to go into another trial and go into another storm. But let me tell you something. If you got Jesus on your side, if you have Jesus inside of you, let me tell you something. He will be there with you to take you through these. A lot of times God will allow us to be distressed for a purpose. He has something for us to do that. You know, I know that firsthand. And I know a lot of you all do too. You know, nothing happens in our life without God allowing it. Do you know that? Nothing. Good, bad, and ugly. Anyway, I want to talk to you about a man named Jacob. Jacob, he stole his brother's birthright. His brother was out and he came back and he was hungry and his brother was cooking food. His brother was a hunter. He was a man's man. And Jacob was a mama's baby, pretty much. Rebecca loved him. And Isaac loved him too. But he was a mama's boy. And so when Esau came out of the woods, he was hungry and he says, I'm going to die. He says, give me a bowl of this victuals that you have. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll give you a bowl if you sell me your birthright. And he says, well, what good is my birthright if I'm going to die of hunger? So he said, you can have it. And so anyway, when his father, Isaac, was about to put a blessing on Esau because he was the oldest, he was going to give him a father's blessing. Rebekah, his mother, said, let me tell you something. This is what we're going to do. We're going to trick your daddy because we want you to get the birthright. So we want you to go and we want you to put some things on so you will look like and feel like your brother Esau. Because at that time, Isaac's eyes were dim. He couldn't see too good. So anyway, he went in and he tricked his dad. And his dad blessed him. And back then, when you bless your child or something, you know, that's a special blessing that was on him. And so when Esau saw what had happened, he says, when my father dies, I'm going to kill you. When dad dies, I'm have you. I'm going to kill you. So Rebekah told her son, I think you need to leave because Esau ain't playing. You know that he's serious about what he's saying he's going to do. So Jacob took off and left, fearing of his life. And years later, Jacob said, I'm going home. He said, I'm going home. And he didn't realize, you know what I mean, that had years had gone by, what was going to happen. All he remembered was, I'm going to kill you, boy, when dad dies. But he decided to go back home. And this is where we start at. And Jacob went out to Beersheba, and this is verse 10 in chapter 28. And went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place. Remember that certain place, because each and every one of us has a certain place. God puts us in a certain place. And he said he went to a certain place. And he said he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and he put them for a pillar and lay down in that place to sleep. He had to be a tired man to sleep on rocks upon stones. But anyway, he took these stones and he used them for a pillow. He laid his head on them. And it says, and he dreamed. He had a dream laying on these hard pillows. He must have been real tired. And it says that, behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. He was dreaming this now. He dreamed that a ladder was set up on the earth. And it says that, and the top of it reached to heaven. So it was a ladder from earth all the way up to heaven. It had to be a long, tall ladder, right? So it reached all the way up to heaven and came down to earth. And it says, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. So this ladder was set up. The bottom of it was on earth. The top of it was on heaven, up to heaven. And it said the angels was going up the ladder and coming down the ladder. Going up the ladder, they were busy angels. Let me say something to you. For those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that are born again, you have guardian angels over you. Do you know that? And some of us have more than one guardian angel. Because we need more than one. Amen? Praise the Lord. Some people got a whole bunch of them. Ain't that right, Don Foote? You got about 100. But praise the Lord. You know, God will give us what we need for what he needs us to do. But anyway, it said they were ascending and descending. And behold. When you say behold, that means to see. The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, to thee I will give it to thee and to thy seed. He says, I'm the God of your grandfather and of your father. And he says, the land that you see, I will give it to you for your descendants. Let me say something to you. God was telling him, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. Some of us are missing our blessings because we ask God to bless me. But when God blesses us, it's for us to pass the blessing on. Do you know that? To be a blessing. That's why a lot of prayers are not answered, because God knows that the blessing that we're asking for, we're going to keep it for ourselves. In Israel, there's a Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is full of life, full of fish, full of all type of things in the Sea of Galilee. It's very much alive. And the Sea of Galilee flows into the Jordan River, which is full of life. Now, I remember the first time I went to Israel, and I was in the Jordan River, and I was getting baptized. Pastor John Hagee baptized me years ago. In the Jordan River. So I'm in the Jordan River. All of a sudden, I'm feeling something on my feet and on my legs. And I'm thinking, is that the Holy Ghost? And somebody said, no, that's the little fish down there. They got little fish down there that have anybody ever been to a place where it's a spa where they put your feet in the fish and they eat all the crust off? So anyway, that's what these little fish down in there. So that's a live place. But then the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea. And in the Dead Sea, nothing is living. Do you know why? Because there's no outlet. It stays right there. The Sea of Galilee has an outlet and it flows into the Jordan River. The Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea keeps everything that the Jordan River flows into, and everything is dead. Do you hear what I'm saying? So, when we ask God to bless us, we need to put a second. Bless me, Lord, so I can be a blessing. Bless me, Lord, so I can be a blessing to somebody else. Because if not, let me tell you something, it's not going to be good. There's been many times I've asked God to bless me, and I kept the blessing, and it didn't turn out good at all. Didn't turn out good at all. You know, I learned a lesson through that. Sometimes God will have to take us to a place where he will show us things that might not be pleasant in order to get our attention to do things that he wants us to do. But anyway, it says that God was there, and he says, I'm the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, wherein thou layest, to thee I will give it to thee and thy seed. So this is what I want to say to you. His grandfather Abraham, he was a friend of God. He was counted righteous for obeying God. And his daddy, Isaac, you know, he was a man of God, but he was a trickster too. He was a deceiver, but God blessed him. So what he's doing, he said, my granddaddy this and my daddy this and that, my daddy. He was sharing the testimony of his granddaddy and his daddy, but he didn't have a testimony of his own. You see what I'm saying? So God says, I'm going to give you a testimony of your own. I told y'all, one Sunday coming up real soon, we're going to have nothing but testimonies. Because people need to hear what God has done for you. Not done for your daddy and your mama, but what God has done for you. People need to hear what God has done for you. And I know some of you say, oh, I don't want to talk. I don't want to do this. Let me tell you something. It's not about what you don't want to do. It's about what God has done for you so you can pass that blessing on to somebody. Because somebody need to hear your blessing. Somebody need to hear your testimony. So I'm going to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to be soon that we're going to have nothing but testimonies. No preaching, but just testimonies. So start thinking about that, because everybody in here has a testimony. Everybody in here has a testimony. So we need to start thinking about that, because somebody in here might be going through something that God has brought you out of. And they're feeling like, I have no hope. I'm the only one that's going through this. So they need to hear that God is the God of hope. There's only hope in Jesus. So anyway, it said the Lord was up there, and he said, I gave your grandfather Abraham a blessing, and he passed a blessing down on to your daddy Isaac, and now I'm going to give you a blessing that you can pass it on. Listen to what he said. I'm going to give it to you to pass it on to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed thou shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He's saying, I'm going to give you a testimony. He says, because I gave your grandfather one, I gave your father one, now I'm going to give you one that all the earth may be blessed in the testimony and what I'm going to do for you, Jacob. For what I'm going to do for you, all the earth is going to be blessed. Then it says, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all thy places where thou goest, and bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. How good is that? He said, I got something for you. I got a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you. I got a plan for good and not of evil. I got an expected end for you. And that's saying that to everybody in here. He has a plan for everybody in here. You know, at the wedding yesterday, I was talking about Miranda's dad and her granddad. And for those of us who go back, we know the granddaddy, Elder, and her daddy, Bill Morris, Elder Morris and Bill Morris. I mean, men of God, love God. Elder Morris, we used to have lunch or breakfast over here at the Crystal. And when he would pray, everybody heard him pray in the whole restaurant. Sometimes I'd walk in Walmart and I could down the hall, down some of them aisles, I could hear Elder Bill preaching to somebody or telling somebody about Jesus. You know, he had one of them real heavy voices and he talked real loud. You know, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He would tell you about Jesus. So anyway, it says, he says, behold, I am with thee. Behold, I am with thee. Let me tell you something. God says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Even in the darkest times of your life, even when you're distressed, and we've all been distressed, and it seemed like God is not there. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? You said that you would never leave him and never forsake me. But when I look back at the life, the thing that I've gone through, I only see one set of footprints. Where were you, Lord? And God will say, let me tell you something. I was carrying you. These are my footprints. I was carrying, if it wasn't for me carrying you, you wouldn't be where you are today. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God is with us. Whatever you're going through, whatever distress that you're going through, God is with you. Remember that. If you don't remember nothing else I say today, God is there with you. How many of us have been in distress, been in the hospital, been in situations where your kids is acting crazy, your husband or your wife is going through some things, and you feel like, I'm distressed, I'm burnt out, I just don't know what to do. God is with you. God is with you. Whether you're in jail, whether you're homeless, or whatever your situation might be, sickness or whatever else, God is with you. And if God is with you, he's going to bring you through it. You hear what I'm saying? As I look around the room today, I can see so many people who have been distressed. But you're sitting here today and you're whole. And that's because God is with you. Sometimes we whine, don't we? Oh, God, Where are you, Lord? I've been praying and praying and praying, and ain't nothing has happened, you know. And God is saying, maybe you might be praying the wrong prayer. Maybe you're asking amiss. Maybe you're asking just for yourself, a selfish prayer. Once again, he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Remember that. When you ask God to bless you for something, next thing you say, well, how can I be a blessing from this blessing that you've given me, Lord? Amen? This is something I always tell couples when I do premarital counseling. And I didn't get a chance to say this to the Flemings yesterday. But Miranda, when you wake up in the morning and you look at your husband, you say, Lord, how can I be a blessing to him and not expect anything back? And when you look at your wife in the morning, how can I be a blessing to my wife and not expect anything back from her? When the both of y'all have that mindset, I want to bless you, but I'm not expecting anything back. And when both of y'all have that, let me tell you something. Y'all going to have a good life. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So favor's coming. Favor's coming. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we had a wonderful time here yesterday. It wasn't but a few of us, but it was a good time. It was a good time. I love doing marriages and weddings. I do. I got a funeral tomorrow. 35-year-old. With children. So I had a wonderful time yesterday with y'all. But tomorrow, I got to get with a family that's distressed, that's going through it. So I'm going to ask you to pray for the family tomorrow at this funeral that I'm doing tomorrow. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough time because it's going to be very emotional. For a person that young with children, you know, to be gone, it's going to be a tough thing. But you know what? God is going to get us through it. God is going to, because I've gone through what the family's going through. Losing a child to overdose. I've gone through that. It's going to be tough on me tomorrow because what it's going to be, it's going to take me right back when I got that call at 3:30 in the morning about my son. It's going to take me right back to that place tomorrow. But you know what? God is going to be with me while I'm able to speak comfort and blessings on this family to get them through it. Because I can go in there and say, let me tell you something. I know what y'all are going through. I've been there. But God is going to bring you through this, just like he's done with me and so many others who have lost loved ones in their lives. He's going to bring you through it. Russell, he's going to bring us through it. And anybody else who's going through distress and going through whatever it is, God is with you. That's what he said, didn't he? Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is with us? As I'm looking at Dennis back there, he was in distress and going through a lot of stuff. But where is he this morning? Sitting right back there with his lovely bride. Praise the Lord. Milo, distress, going through a lot of things. Who is he sitting there? He's here today with his lovely wife and his grandson. Praise the Lord, grandson. Glad that you're here, grandson. Amen. Now I can go around the room and say about a lot of you. But God is with us. So anyway, and then it says, and Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely, not maybe, not might. Now, he had a dream now. This is a dream. But this was a God-created dream. A lot of us have dreams. And then you got to be careful about them dreams also. Because they can be very demonic. Because Satan will give you a dream also. But how we know that it's a God dream when you dream of something and then not only he says he saw God standing above the ladder, but now he heard God say something to him while he was awoke. That's when you know that it's God. Because sometimes you can eat something and have a dream and it ain't God. But if God gives you a dream, he will confirm it with his word. And be careful about them dreams, you know, them dream books and all that kind of stuff. All that's satanic. All of that satanic. You know, all that dream, them dream catchers and all that kind of mess. All of that. Stay away from all that. If you got something like that in your house, get rid of it now. Because it's from the pits of hell. All of that. Might be why some people are going through what they're going through now, what you got in the house. You be careful what you bring into your house. And it says, listen to what it says. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. Says he was afraid. He had a fear of God. That's what the church is missing today, is the fear of God. When I'm talking about the fear of God, I'm talking about the reverence and the adoration and the respect for God. So many people in churches today have dumbed down God and brought God down to our level. And God wants to bring us up to his level. That ladder, it said that the angels was ascending and descending. What they were doing, they were bringing the natural things of the earth and they were bringing it up to heaven. And they was taking the supernatural things from heaven and bringing it down to the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the angels, they were busy. They were taking the natural and taking it to the supernatural and taking the supernatural and bringing it down to the natural. Let me tell you something. The supernatural is much more real than the natural. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, the supernatural is much more real than the natural, of what we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we feel and taste. The supernatural. We need to live in the supernatural and not the natural. Because if you live in the natural, it's not going to be a good thing for you. We got to live in the supernatural because we have a supernatural God. Then it says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for the pillars and set it up for a pillar. And poured all upon the top of it. He anointed these stones. He anointed these stones that he slept on, that had this dream about him seeing the angels coming up and down, and God was on the top of it. He said, surely God was in this place and I didn't know it. I don't care what you go through, what God allows you to go through, God is in that place. But do you know it or not? So many times I was in distress. So many times I was in the thing and my focus was on the distress. My focus was on the conditions. And I didn't know God was in the place because my focus was on the wrong thing. When we keep our focus on God, let me tell you something. That's when you can have peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of what you're going through. You can have joy unspeakable. But when you're in distress, you don't have no peace and no joy, do you? Because why? Because we're focusing on what we're going through instead of focusing on the one who is bigger than the problem that we're going through. Remember that when God allows you to go through some things, because every one of us is going to go through some things. As long as we're breathing, we're going to go through things. And the reason God allows us to go through that, because he wants us to know that he is in this place. He wants to know us as a first-hand God, not a second-hand God. There might be people in this room today that might know God as a secondhand God. I don't want to know God as a secondhand God. I want to know him as a right now God, a real God. I don't want to know about my granddaddy's God or my daddy's God. I want to know God for myself. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want to know God for myself. And you need to know God for yourself to have that personal relationship with Jesus. And it says, and he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. Bethel means the house of God. Do you know that? He said, this is the house of God that I was at. I'm in distress. I'm going home. And my brother said he's going to kill me. But God said, let me tell you something, young man. I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm going to take you back home. And you ain't got to worry about your brother because I already done dealt with him. Now, what you need to do is read the rest of this here and see what happened when Jacob and Esau came together. A true reconciliation of families. Some of you have been separated from your family. Some of you have ought against your family. And that ain't nothing but the enemy. That's nothing but the enemy that's driving a wedge between the family unit. That's what he wants to do. And what else he wants to do, which is drive a wedge between the husband and the wife to bring disunity and disharmony and all that between the husband and the wives. A lot of that's going on. Don't let Satan come in between you and your wife. Don't let Satan come in between you and your family members. Whatever it is, get over it. Because you don't ever want to be at a place at a funeral and your family members laying in that casket and you say, I wish I had said I'm sorry. I wish I had said I forgive you. I wish I had said that I love you more. Do it now. Do it now while your family member can hear it, regardless of what they've done to you or didn't do to you or what you've done to them. Get over it. Just get over it. And it says, and Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, I will go and will give me bread to eat and garments to put on so that I may come into my father's house in peace, that I may come into my father's house in peace, because my brother said he's going to kill me. But Lord, I know you said that you're going to take me back to my place. He said, but I'm not going unless you be with me and provide for me. And it says that, so that I will come again into my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Then I will have a first-hand account of my God. Not a second, not my daddy and my granddaddy's account of God, but I have my own. Do you know God don't have no grandkids? You can't go to heaven on your mama or your daddy or your husband or your wife. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus yourself. Yourself. Not a secondhand relationship. That's like when the two of them, they were courting and dating, then they got engaged. But yesterday, they formed the covenant of the marriage vows. They said vows to one another and vows to God. You see, like I told him yesterday, I said, she ain't your girlfriend or your fiance no more. This is your wife. He ain't your boyfriend or your fiance no more. This is your husband. Y'all one now. And I'm so thankful. I can't tell you how blessed I am, y'all, in church today. And I mean that. That blesses me. It really does. Amen. Yeah, you know, y'all should be on your honeymoon to Nassau or the Bahamas somewhere, but y'all here in church. Praise the Lord. Y'all might go later on, but I don't know. Praise the Lord. But anyway, y'all here this morning. And it says that, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. And all that thou shalt give me, he says, I will give a tithe to you, a tenth. That's what a tithe is, a tenth. He said, everything that you give me, Lord, I'm going to give you back a tenth. Everything belongs to God. Everything, every penny that we have or will have, it all belongs to God. And God says, you know, what I'm asking of you is a faith. Just give back a tenth or more. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's the law. That's the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. It's in the New Testament also. I heard a thing here that really saddened me. And I don't know. They took a poll or something. But they say the average Christians, only a small fraction of Christians tithe. If we, the church, the body of Christ, every one of us, would do what God asks of us, we wouldn't have no problems of getting a new roof on this building. We wouldn't have no problems of getting these windows fixed. We wouldn't have no problems of getting this place appointed. Wouldn't have no problem with that. I'm just going to leave that alone right now. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost deal with you on that. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. I can't afford not to tithe. I just can't. How good God's been to me. I can't afford it. I'm going to leave that alone. Maybe. Anyway, that certain place, what certain place are you in this morning? Are you in a certain place this morning that God has you and that you're distressed, that you're going through it? You know what a ladder is really for? A ladder is really for reaching something that you can't do it on your own. I cannot reach this on my own. Self-sufficiency, you see. So many of us, especially us men, oh, I can do it. I'm a man. I can do it. Yep. You know, we're self-sufficient. Let me tell you something. That's not the way of God. We need to be dependent on Him. We celebrated Independence Day, whenever it was. Anyway, every day, we need to celebrate Dependence Day on Jesus. That ladder is to reach something that unreachable. That's what the ladder's for, is to reach something unreachable. Vera, come here. Vera, do you see that? Can you reach it? See if you can reach it. Jump. You see, this is something I know she wants. Can everybody see what that is? I know she wants that. And she's reaching up and she's trying to jump, but she can't reach it on her own. You understand what I'm saying? You can't reach it on your own. No, I'm not going to pick you up. No, you're not going to use no chair. These chairs here, from what I understand, and Miss Shrita, you might be able to help me out with that. Because Miss Shrita, she's been at this church for over 60 years. I understand that these chairs were the chairs that was saved out of the fire. Is that true? Yeah? Okay. These back in the 1800s, when the church burned down. This church burned down back in the 1800s. And they rebuilt it in 1891 of stone. But it was wood at first. But I understand that these two chairs was the only thing that they saved out of the church at that time. So no, you're not going to stand on them. No. But listen, this is what we need to do. You see, the thing that she wants, she can't reach it on her own. But God said, I'll give you a ladder that you can reach it. In John 1, in I think 42 or 43, Nathanael was up under a tree and he was meditating. And his brother said, come, we found a Messiah. And so when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, oh, here, a true Israelite, a deceitful. He said, I saw you under the tree. And he says, what you were thinking about? And so Nathanael said, you are the Son of God. And he says, so you say that I'm the Son of God just because of what I said that I saw you? He said, let me tell you something. You'll see greater things than this. And it says that you will see a ladder with angels ascending and descending on the Son of God. And the Son of God is who? Is Jesus Christ. You see, what Jesus did in the New Testament, he brought it back to the Old Testament about that ladder. Ascending and descending. The ladder is Jesus. Jesus Christ, period. We can do nothing that pleases God without Jesus. On the ladder of Jesus. So climb up that ladder. I'm going to hold it. And the only way she was able to get that was climb this ladder. The only way that we can get the blessings and the thing that pleases God is climb the ladder of Jesus. We can't get it on our own. How many times have we tried to do it on our own? And we all end up in the same place. You can go sit down now. Ain't no more. No. Go sit down. And don't forget about the tithe. Don't forget about the tithe on that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But did everybody understand what I said here this morning? It's Jesus Christ, period. There's nothing that we can do that's pleasing to God without Jesus in our life. Nothing. Not one thing. How many times have we tried and tried and tried and tried to do it ourselves? We in distress and I tried to get out of distress. We in all kind of things and I tried to do. Let me tell you something about trying. I don't like the word try. I really don't. I hear people talk about, oh, I'm trying to live for Jesus. I'm trying to quit smoking. I'm trying to quit doing this. I'm trying to do this, that, and other. Let me tell you something. Either you do it or you don't. Hear what I'm saying? That try. We can't try to live for Jesus. How many times have we tried to live for Jesus and we fail over and over and over and over again? Because I'm trying to do it myself. I'm trying to stop doing this. I'm trying to start doing it. And I'm trying and it's not working. That's because you haven't put it in Jesus' hands. And if you put it in Jesus' hands will be in everything that you put in his hands. But the problem is we go get it out of Jesus' hand and try to take it ourselves and try to do it again. Over and over and over again. I remember when I was smoking cigarettes. Yes, Pastor, you smoke cigarettes plus other things. But anyway, I was a Christian, you know, and I remember her daddy. I was out. I told y'all this many times. I was out in Adams Center. I said, nobody from the church is out here, you know, because when I'm in town, you know what I mean? I'd smoke and I put it down real quick and I look around and then I, you know, breath mints and Brute, put on Brute. Don't you know that don't work? Do you know, you can still smell it with all that? So anyway, I'm sitting at the light and I got the window down and I got the, I used to smoke them menthols, Newports. And all of a sudden I turn around and look and I see Miranda's daddy looking at me. And I dropped a cigarette. He'd already seen me. You know, he said, hey, brother, how you doing? I said, oh, brother, God is good. He said, yeah, God is good. And he said, yeah, I said, I got to go now, Bill. He said, no, I want to talk to you about something because he saw that cigarette drop in my lap. Next thing you know, smoke coming up. And he blackmailed me for a long time. He said, I'm going to tell Pastor on you. So he made me buy him lunch, you know, and all kind of stuff. You know, we had a blackboard where we had to write on there, you know, to clean the church. We took time cleaning the church. So I had to take his time for about a month of cleaning the church. But I got him back, him and Terry Satchwell. I wouldn't put that name down there every week. For about 3-4 months. But anyway, your sin will find you out. Amen. Your sin will find you. But what I'm saying is, you know, as much as I tried and tried and tried and tried to stop smoking, I couldn't do it. I would take my cigarettes and I would throw them away. Next thing you know, I'm going to the trash can, getting them out. I take my cigarettes and break them up. Next thing you know, I'm going to get some tops. Rolling them back up, cigarettes. Next thing you know, I'm taking them and I'm putting them in water. Then I'm getting a hair dryer. It wasn't until I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I done tried and tried and tried. Let me tell you something. And God took that nicotine appetite out of me. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. When I stopped trying and I climbed the ladder to Jesus, that's when he took it out of me. Not only just the cigarettes, but the drugs, you know, the appetite for drugs and other things also. You know, and he's still working on me on some things. I still got some issues. You know, I still got some issues, you know, but it ain't none of them type of things there. You know, some of my issues is what I think about some of y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I love all of you. I love all of you, and I mean that. You know, even in everything that goes on, you know, I love all of you. And I missed all of you, and I mean that. I truly missed you. You know, as I was out, I was thinking about you. And I was thinking about, well, what are they doing on Tuesday night? What are they doing on Wednesday night? What are y'all doing on Sunday morning? Who's not coming and who's coming? You know, and I had some spies. I had spies to tell me who didn't come and who did come, who acted up and who didn't act up. I want y'all to know that. So I got firsthand about everything that y'all have done and didn't do. Everything. I'm going to be speaking to some of y'all after service today. Praise the Lord. But anyway, did everybody understand what I said today about Jesus? About Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, period. Not Jesus Christ plus my own, trying to do things on my own. You know, that song, I Did It My Way. How's that working for you? Doing it my way. So if you're here today, and if you don't know God firsthand, if he's a secondhand God, or maybe not a God at all to you, I don't know. If you're here today and you want to make God first in your life, that you want to make him a firsthand God, that you want to have a personal relationship with God and fellowship with God. If you're here today, he says, I will give you what you ask for. Because a lot of people, they have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. But anytime you ask God to intervene and to help you to do the things that's obedient to him, let me tell you something. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. So if you're here today, and you know God is a second-hand God, or maybe not a God at all, you can come and know him today for a first-hand God. You can experience him for yourself today. And I'm not talking about an emotion. I'm talking about a real experience with God. To know that God is in this place, that God is with me every place that I go. Every place that I go, God is with me. There's nothing, no place that I can go that the presence of God is not there. So if you're here this morning and you're feeling the Holy Spirit is unctioning you to say, I need to know a first-hand God. I've been knowing him for a second-hand God for a long time. But I need to know God as a first-hand God. I need to know him today for that. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up and come down. So everybody knows God is first-hand God in here, right? Amen. If that's the truth, if that's real, amen. But if not, and you walk out of here, you say, and you don't know him as a first-hand God, and that you don't have a personal relationship with him, and something happens to you today, let me tell you something. There's only two places that you go when you take your last breath, and that's heaven and hell. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the place that you will go when you take your last breath will be hell. Now, I'm not telling you that, you know, I'm telling you what the Bible says. For those who are out of Christ, hell is where you are going. But God has given you opportunity and woke you up another day to say, I'm giving you an opportunity to come this morning. Is there anybody else? Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? If once again, if we're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, not know about him, because we all know about Jesus. But I'm talking about if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, have a personal relationship with him. Just like these two here. They have a personal relationship, a husband and a wife. Are you dating Jesus? Or are you married to him? It's a big difference. It's a big difference. So many times people date Jesus. And then when you get tired of him, or he don't do what you want him to do, then next thing you do, I'm done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, sister. Amen. So we're all up here today to make God a first-hand God in our lives. You had no idea that you was going to be standing up here today when you came up here, did you?
No.
Not at all. But God has a plan for you, young man. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. And I know you're homeless, and I know you're hungry, and I know you're going through it. But God brought you here today for a reason, young man. Amen. You could have went to a lot of other places, but you came here today. God brought you here today because he has a purpose and a plan for your life. You hear what I'm saying? What's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan?
Yes.
God has a purpose for you, Ryan. Is it anybody else? Let me tell you something. If you're sitting in here and you know that you should be up here, but you don't come down for whatever reason, God will meet you in your seat where you are. God will meet you where you are. Praise the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask everybody here, let's make a circle. And if you're sitting out there and you know that you should be up here, pray this prayer with us. But mean it. Be serious about it. Pray the prayer with us. Heavenly Father, I come before you today to make you my Lord and Savior. I am a sinner, and I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. This day, I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day, and that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day, for eternity, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. This gift of salvation, I accept by faith. And the church says, amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Do you